preaching is giddy up. Faith, hope, and love. We're starting a series on these three things. Three sermons. Faith, hope, and love. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're not going to read the whole text this morning, though I would encourage you at some point to go and read that text for yourself. But we will read it on two Sundays from now when we focus on love. Faith, hope, and love. These three things the Apostle Paul suggests are of the utmost importance for us to have some sense of value in our life. And again, our focus this morning is faith. How many of you here have taken a roller coaster ride, or maybe you've went on a ski lift? Have you ever sat and thought about the maintenance of that cable or of that roller coaster ride? I can tell you now, as an electrician and someone who works in maintenance, I think about those things. I look over and I wonder, how well do they pay their maintenance guys? I wonder, or girls, I wonder how well they're being treated. How many of you went under went to an anesthesiologist or had them put you to sleep prior to surgery? How about you've handed your keys to a teenager, to your car, and said, here, go for a ride? All of these things have a level of faith, right? We make an assumption. We're trusting that things are going well, though we cannot see what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen down the road. Praise God, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who does know the future. But you and I, we really do not know. We cannot see the future. Now, our focus this morning, though we have faith in many things in life, I mean, when you get on a bus, when you get on an airplane, you're trusting, you're putting some faith in those individuals. You may not be thinking about it, but you are. You're making an assumption. You're trusting that person is trained, or the people who are taking care of that equipment have done their job and done it well. Our focus this morning is on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a minister say recently, and I shared this with someone on Wednesday night, I heard this minister say the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. When I heard her say this, I thought, you know, I initially wrestled with that idea, because we often think about it from that perspective, don't we? That if I have doubts, then my faith is slipping. And she says, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. And I liked what she said, and as I pondered it, I had a scripture come to mind, something that, and I don't think it was immediately either, it was like a few days later, this verse comes to mind, something that the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. He says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And you see, generally, that's the same thing that Paul's saying. There's some aspect of our faith is a level of trusting of something that we don't fully have a hold of. There's always a little bit of mystery. We're going to read this morning the Apostle Paul saying that we see through a mirror, darkly. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've thought to myself, sometimes that mirror seems darker than other times in my life. Now, we may each at times say that we have a strong faith, but listen, that does not negate the fact that it's still faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will have high moments as well as low moments. I would suggest that each of you here, if you've been a Christian for very long, you've had some moments in your life when something hard hit you, something that caused you to wonder or concern or question what's going on, maybe challenge you in your faith. I have to say, I've said this before, sometimes I wonder truly, is faith really real, at least from our perspective? Not from God's perspective, but from our perspective. Sometimes I wonder if faith is really real until you have that moment that you are tested. When something doesn't seem to go the way you think it ought to go, there are those who walk away from Jesus Christ when life does not fulfill their expectations concerning their faith in Him. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69, Jesus had just recently shared some hard things. And he says, after this, the gospel writer of John says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. There were people who were following Jesus who had some semblance of faith, and they turned back. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed. And we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." I want to tell you this morning, Peter didn't have it all figured out. I find some comfort, and I look, and as I understand Peter and some of his struggles. If you know the Gospels, if you read through them, this is prior to Jesus even being arrested. And you know Peter's faith is going to be tested, and he's going to have his doubts. He's going to wrestle with what's going on. He's challenged when someone faces him, even whether he knows Jesus. He's challenged to answer that question. "I don't even know who the guy is." And yet, when Peter sees Jesus Christ raised from the dead, or he meets him after he is resurrected and has conversations with him, you can imagine, again, his faith should have been buoyed, right? Peter still doesn't have it all figured out. We go into Acts chapter 2, and we see the Pentecost happen, where the Holy Spirit comes and falls upon Christians who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it happens in a miraculous way, and Peter's telling them this is a change. God's now working within all of us and touching us in a special way that he hadn't been doing before. So you think, at this point, Peter's got to have it all figured out. He's been with Christ for 3 years in ministry. He saw him, spoke to him after he rose from the dead. He physically seen him go up into the heavens. He saw the Holy Spirit come down upon all those individuals, and they were empowered to speak other languages so that everyone could hear and know the truth in their own language. And yet, and if you come out on Wednesday nights, you'll see when we get to that. There's a point when Peter still, in the words of the Bible, the terminology is Peter doubted. He still wrestled with what was going on. Listen, he knew who he believed in. He trusted in Jesus, and yet he didn't trust in exactly what was going on. He had his doubts. Many, you see it happening in the Gospels, and we see it happening today. Many walk away. Listen to the following few verses there in the Gospel of John. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Again, Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus. He was with him. He was ministering with him during those main 3 years of going around and preaching and teaching and all these miracles taking place. And when the religious leaders look for someone to give them some help to find Jesus in a way, in a place and away from the crowd, he leads them to him. He's paid to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. Can't say. All we have is the information we have in the Gospels. But I would imagine at some point, and I know there's probably books, many books written about the possibility of what Judas may have been going on in his mind and what happened afterwards and all that. But I will say this. Doesn't it seem that at some point Judas had some level of faith? And his faith was tested. He didn't see that what was happening in his life and what he thought was going to happen wasn't happening, so he decided to go his own pathway. He decided to turn from his faith. I mentioned earlier that hard times often bring about a test of faith. and I think this is true, I know it's true for me, that each time that you come at those moments in your life when something happens that you think ought not to happen, whether it's in church or whether it's something in your own life, something about your health, something about someone who you thought cared for you and did not express it, maybe a spiritual leader in your life, something happens that challenged you. When your faith is tested, I think you have two choices. This is just my experience, my view, my thoughts. I think you generally have two choices when that happens. And one of these two is going to happen. You think about Jesus Christ. Think about it in a physical sense as if you're actually holding on to his hand. Think of that as your faith. And when you get tested, I'm going to tell you one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to get a hold of him and begin to squeeze, or you're going to begin to relax. I think that happens to each and every one of us who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in those moments when our faith is tested, when something happens that we don't think should happen, then we begin to either tighten our grip or loosen a little bit. I'm telling you here this morning, I'm the pastor of Vanderhoof Baptist Church, and I proclaimed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ since I was a little boy. I have faith in Jesus Christ, but I wrestle with doubt. Our main text for the next three sermons again comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to read a couple verses now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Two different moments in time Paul here is talking about. Listen. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then, in future time, face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Then would you ask for a blessing? Simply talking about how important it is to have it. And from his perspective, for life to have meaning, these three are important. They abide: faith, hope, and love. And he says these things you will endure. As far as what matters in life, He considered these to be the utmost importance. Now listen, Paul's not suggesting that you don't need food in your belly or a roof over your head. To some extent, right, we all need those things. And we don't, you need to be reminded or told of those things. Those are the most natural. Regardless of who you are, regardless of your perspective in God, you're going to reach out for and try to obtain those things. The faith, hope, and love takes an effort, and not everyone really embraces and holds those things. And Paul's saying, if you really want to find life as it was intended by God for you to have, then reach out and hold on to these things. Speaking of faith, Jesus says that our faith must be similar to the mindset of a child. In Luke chapter 18, verse 70, he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter." What that sounds like to me is Jesus is saying you need to be willing to approach Jesus Christ as a child. Having that mindset of trusting in something that you don't understand and there's no way you're going to fully understand. I hope and pray that you had a good mom and dad, or somebody who cared for you and raised you as a child. And I hope you can remember a time in your life when you felt comforted, when you felt taken care of, when you felt like when someone said something to you, it was going to happen. You just simply trusted it. If my mom or dad said, "Hey, we're going here next weekend," I just knew that's where I was going. I didn't think about it. I didn't question it. I didn't try to figure it all out. I just simply trusted that's what's going to happen. Jesus is saying, listen, you need to understand. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how wise you are. I don't care how much knowledge you have. To some extent, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to revert back to being a child. I've taken classes where we sit around and we discuss some of the deep things about God, and I enjoy that. Don't misunderstand me. I have a co-worker of mine that we sit around and we question all kinds of things. I enjoy that. But ultimately, I come to a point in my life where I simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I understand there's going to be things in my life that happen that I'm not going to understand. By holding on to faith along with hope and love, Paul would say that we strive regardless of what else is happening in our lives. These are three things that we can hold on to regardless of what else is coming from outside. Having physical needs met in this life is not enough. You need those things. But Paul is saying these things are of the utmost importance, that we should garner them, that we should hold to them, that we should meditate on them, that we should reach out and try to make them a part of our lives best way we can from who we are. Right? You cannot be me. You know, you should not try to mimic me in my faith, nor should I try to mimic you in your faith. This is something that you work out yourself. Paul uses the terminology of working out your salvation. This is something that goes on between you and God. Your mom and your dad didn't give it to you. Your grandpa didn't give it to you. Your next door neighbor didn't give it to you. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, at some point you chose to believe, and you need to work on that faith, to seek to grow in it. If you're not doing these things, you're not who you were designed to be. To have faith in Jesus Christ is to trust that He will take care of you, that He'll watch over you, that He loves you, that He wants good for your life, and that ultimately He's giving you an eternal home. What can we do to grow and to learn and trust in Jesus more? I want to tell you, obviously, one of the things is spend time studying the Word of God, getting to know Him. How can I get to trust my wife more, or vice versa? Spend time with her. Spend time with her. Trusting in Jesus is something, again, that is different for all of us. It has different levels, and you're going to go through stages in your life. If you've just recently come to Christ, Listen, I want to tell you, you're going to go through stages in your life as things come at you, as you go through stages in your physical life, as well as job changes and relationship changes. But through all of this, you have a say in your faith. I heard a story that I think illustrates faith well. There was a lady who was proclaiming that she could walk across a cable high between buildings. Now, this is not a real story. This is a made-up story. It may have a basis in truth. I don't know. It's just a made-up story to illustrate. But there's a lady who wants to cross between two buildings on a cable. People are gathering around to hear it's going to happen, and people are wanting to watch. It's exciting. It's a show. And she's going to cross over, and she grabs a wheelbar. She's going to cross over and push the wheelbar in front of her. And she asks everybody, how many of you believe I can cross this cable with this wheelbar? And everybody's getting loud, raising their hands, you know. You can do it. How many hands do you think went up when she says, who will get in the wheelbar? Until your faith is challenged, I'm not so sure, again, from your perspective, not from God's perspective, until your faith is challenged, I'm not so sure that it's quite been real to you, right? I'm not saying that you're not a child of God because you haven't been tested yet in your faith. I'm just saying until you've been to that point in your life when you've had to jump in, when you've had to participate in some way in faith. Listen, it's easy to have faith when everything is wonderful, when everyone loves you, when you've got the best job, the best car, the best house, And everyone's standing around praising you and singing your names. It's when you get challenged. Hebrews chapter 11 has a lot to say of faith. And it's another chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I'd encourage you to go back and read it. There's a lot of good information in it. Hebrews chapter 11 it talks about many people that we can read about in the Old Testament. People of faith and the results of their faith. Chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old receive their commendation. Now you might listen right now as you're listening, think, well, that's the opposite of what the pastor just said. He's talking about assurance and conviction. Yes, to some level, I want to tell you, my faith, I do have a conviction in my faith. I had somebody ask me one time, suggest that they had information that would shake my faith to its foundation. I never did find out what it was, because he wouldn't tell me what it was. He said, listen, I got something. If you knew this truth, you'd lose your faith. And I said, tell me what it is. I have a conviction. I have a comfort level. I have an assurance in my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you understand, it's not the same as when I have Him in my hands. When I'm at the knee of the Lord, on my knees in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no longer a need for faith. I see Him. There's a difference. But somewhere between here and there, I do have an assurance. I do have a sense in my heart, a conviction, in trusting that what he will do what he's going to do. But you understand, that's not the same as sight. In the midst of that, we will wrestle with some level of doubts. Again, in this chapter, we see many, many examples of people who demonstrated their faith in the Bible and the results. And it begins with many people who found rewards in their faith in this life. And as I was studying that, matter of fact, this morning I was thinking about it as I was preparing, going through it, the sermon. I was thinking about how my drill instructor in boot camp in the Marine Corps, he told me, in the Marine Corps, every meal is a banquet and every day is a holiday. Now, if you know anything about the military, you realize that was an absolute lie. It didn't take me long to say, I'm going to say even worse for the Marine Corps, but that's my own experience. I can't compare fully. But I'm going to tell you, every meal is not, and by the way, if you're getting ready to sign up, come talk to me. Every meal is not a banquet. Every day is not a holiday. It didn't take me long to realize, I can't believe what this guy says. Now, I didn't believe him at the time. I wasn't naive enough to believe him at the time. But just imagine if that was my first introduction to the Marine Corps and how quickly my faith would have been challenged. Now, these individuals, early on, there's this reference of all these great things happening to them. They're rewarded in the here and the now because of their faith. But I find it interesting. Watch what happens in verse 35. All of these things are happening, right? Mouths of lions are kept shut. Foreign armies are conquered. And here he says the women receive back their dead by resurrection. This happened in the Old Testament. We also know Jesus Christ himself resurrected individuals. But then we see a pretty hard turn. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Can I tell you this morning, do you understand the Bible does not teach that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will give you the biggest house, will give you the most love from the people around you, that's going to make sure you have the best job? Matter of fact, the opposite might happen. The Bible says many of those individuals, or history tells us, many of those individuals that we read about, those early apostles, they died for their faith. Faith in Jesus Christ does not guarantee you a great life in the immediate future. And again, that depends on how you define great life. You see how Paul is trying to get your mind to think about what a great life is? A great life is holding on to faith, hope, and love. I hope you've lived long enough to realize that what you have in your fingers ultimately doesn't satisfy you. It may for a moment. And I don't know what it is about ourselves. I'm 55 years old. I still do it. I can look into a commercial and I think, boy, that's going to be the answer. Boy, if I'm driving in that vehicle, just look how happy I'm going to be. There's a part of us, the old flesh, that we're constantly thinking, boy, if I just have this next thing, better job, better home, better relationship, whatever it is, you think, that's going to be the resolution to my life. It's going to fix everything. And again, after 55 years, you think I'd know better. Because I've had many of those moments that you get it and you think, boy, this car is just something, this works. I got to fix it. I got to pay for it. We're moving into a new house. And there's a part of us right now, we're still in the honeymoon. We're looking at it and we're thinking, boys, things are going to be great. We've been talking about it. The house we're in has lots of steps. We get into this one, we'll get out of the steps. You have this mindset, boy, things are going to be so great. And in some cases, I think they are going to be. But I'm going to tell you, in a while, I'm going to realize it's a house too. It needs attention. It's going to need fixing. The air conditioner's going to break at some point. I'm sorry. It's going to happen. You realize, Paul is just trying to tell us that we need to be reminded of. We don't need to be told, hey, you've got to put food in your belly. You know, we're full of it. You don't need that. But we need to be reminded of how important faith, hope, and love is. And understand that so many other things in our life can be taken away from us in just a moment's notice. Just a moment's notice, you can lose those physical things. Someone you love, you can lose your job by a simple notification in a newspaper. These are things that are all going away. Lord Jesus Christ, though, promises us a future where things don't go away. But for now, we're dealing with that. And Paul says, hold on to these three things. These three things you have a control over. You can decide what level of faith you're going to hold to. You can decide what level of hope you're going to hold to, what level of love. Yes, and we'll talk more about that when we get to that sermon. Yes, you have a control over some level of love. I'm not talking about how people around you love, but you can choose in dealing and responding with the love God gives you. On Communion Sunday, I spoke of Jesus being our nourishment. As we, in a sense, as the way I was talking about it before, as we feed on Jesus, right? What we're doing here this morning, again, is some sense of feeding on Jesus, listening and talking about His Word. As we go home and as we study and we ponder and we think about our faith, we're drawn into a deeper connection with the God of the universe who created us. He becomes more a part of us and we become a part of Him. How much of yourself are you willing to give? Jesus spoke of us over 2,000 years ago. I like this verse. I sort of envision that Jesus is thinking about me. Yeah, okay, maybe that's a little too, maybe that's too much. But I think in general, He's thinking about all of us today when he said these words to Thomas. Again, Thomas himself was wrestling with doubts. I must say, I think we pushed a little hard on Thomas. All of them were wrestling with doubts. And I don't think Thomas doubted Jesus doubted Jesus was who He said He was. I think Thomas was doubting in the resurrection. He was simply doubting in that moment, in that time of the resurrection. They didn't understand. They weren't sure what all was happening. But Thomas was wrestling with his doubts. And Jesus comes and shows Himself to him. And then He says these words again. Can you hear Jesus talking about you? Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen shelter. We need food in our bellies. But those things do not bring fulfillment. They will never bring fulfillment. But however, these three things are so important. Faith, hope, and love. A faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. A hope that your future is going to be better. Not just necessarily everything into eternity, but a hope that you're going to get through what you're dealing with today. What a difference. Again, we'll get into that next Sunday, but what a difference it is when we have some hope. Jesus come to give us hope. Not in a sense of hope in the like you think of the lottery. Boy, I hope to win, I hope to win. A hope that has been promised through the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, that love that comes from God. And as you are warmed in that God, you're able to spill out that love towards others. Regardless of how you've been treated. These three things in a door. I hope you can say with me this morning, I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But recognize in times you're going to have to say what we read about somebody in the gospel saying, "Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief." I'm so thankful that you all chosen to be a part of my journey of faith. As I hope you see myself being a part of your journey. Okay. And I look forward to that day when we each no longer have to hold on to faith because we'll truly see you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for stirring within us a desire to have a faith. Lord, your word teaches us that in and of itself. Give us eyes to see. Help us to grow in our faith, Lord. And in those times when things get tough, when life is sketchy, Lord, I ask you to help each.